From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Wisconsin's Republicans are sore losers. The GOP-dominated state government engaged in a brazen power grab this week, working feverishly over several days and into the night on Tuesday to pass a sweeping set of bills by early Wednesday morning, curbing the power of incoming Democratic elected officials. They faced thousands of protesters who marched, chanted, rallied, and denounced the GOP's moves outside the state Capitol building. According to the New York Times, the measures, quote, limit early voting, require lawmaker approval for the attorney general to settle certain lawsuits, and give lawmakers, not the governor, the majority of appointments on an economic development board. They also prevent Governor-elect Tony Evers from banning guns in the Wisconsin Capitol without permission from legislators. But Republican lawmakers are justifying their move, saying it's simply a way to balance power. Here is Wisconsin House Speaker Robin Voss speaking to Associated Press.
I do not believe that a single stroke of the pen by a governor of either party should be able to undo the work of the legislature in negotiation with the executive branch. Those are the kind of things that are in this bill today, making sure that the practices that we have had where both sides sit at the table and neither one is able to unilaterally do something.
Wisconsin House Speaker Robin Voss is talking to AP. Wisconsin's current governor, Scott Walker, was shocked by his loss to Mr. Evers on November 6th. He's expected to sign these bills into law as one of his last major acts as governor. We go now to Wisconsin to speak with Mary Botari, director of the Center for Media and Democracy's Real Economy Project. She's been on the ground where the protests have been taking place. Welcome to the program, Mary.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
So it seems as though the pace of what the Republican state legislators did in Wisconsin was breathtaking. I feel like we just heard about it on Sunday, and now it's Wednesday. By Wednesday, they've already passed these bills, and Walker's expected to sign them in the next few days. How fast did this whole process happen?
It moved very fast, perhaps historically fast. The bills were released last Friday at 5 o'clock, and it barely gave the public enough time to read them, react to them. We're still sorting through what the heck happened in the middle of the night because the Republicans were caucusing for hours upon hours. There was clearly tense disagreements, even in the Republican caucus. And so what amendments got in, what amendments got left out, we're sort of still sorting through here.
So I understand it was a whole set of bills. There are two Democratic leaders coming, Democratic Party leaders coming in, the governor-elect, as I said, Tony Evers, and then there's a new a state attorney general, Josh Call, as well. And it sounds like the bills were specifically designed to limit the powers of those two positions?
Well, let's be clear. Democrats swept in this election. They won the governorship. They won the lieutenant governorship. They won the Secretary of the Treasury. They won the Secretary of State. They won the Attorney General. They won all the constitutional offices. But they only picked up one seat in the Wisconsin legislature because our legislature is the most gerrymandered in the nation. The partisan gerrymandering of our legislature has been held to be unconstitutional by federal courts. Democrats got 54% of the vote for assembly, yet they only have 36 seats. It's a little bit ridiculous.
36 out of?
36 out of 99.
Wow.
So when Speaker Voss says, as he did all week, that the legislature is the most representative body in the House and those kinds of things, I was in press conferences where there were a few members of the public in the back and the press in the front, and people could barely control their snickers because they're quite well aware of this gerrymandering that was shown again in this last election cycle.
So they're claiming that this is all just a way to balance power in the state and that they're really just interested in good governance. But can you take us through some of, as far as you can tell, what it is that they passed? And is it even publicly available yet?
Look, they are literally overturning or attempting to block the things that Tony Evers ran on as he ran for governor. So for instance, Tony Evers and Josh Call, our new attorney general, promised to withdraw the state from a legal attack on the Affordable Care Act that's been launched by a number of Republican attorney generals in Texas. That was one of their campaign promises. Healthcare was a huge issue here in Wisconsin, and the attack on the Affordable Care Act was extremely concerning to voters. So the legislature moved in the middle of the night to block their ability to withdraw from that suit. They also did a whole series of things to the poor attorney general's office, really curtailing the attorney general's power and giving legislators more power in cases involving Wisconsin laws. They also hampered the governor's ability to increase the number of people getting health care in the state of Wisconsin. They clamped down on his ability to increase Medicaid, to receive more Medicaid money from the federal government, and to use that money both to expand health care and to improve prices in the state of Wisconsin. However, they took the time to make sure that health care recipients in our Badger Care system would have to be drug tested and would have to, you know, implement work requirements and all these other draconian things. So the list of what happened is still being unraveled. And in the middle of it all, Governor Walker came in with 82 new appointments that nobody had a chance to see or vet. We don't know who these people are or what boards are going to be going on, but it's another way to undermine the Tony Evers' power.
So 82 people appointed to various positions in the state government that Scott Walker picked, and the Republican legislature just approved all of them. And presumably these are people whose terms are just going to be starting, so they'll be in it for a while. And Tony Evers, the incoming governor, will not get a chance to have much say over those seats for a while, over those positions.
One of the most significant appointments is to the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, which is one of the most important education positions in our state. And you would hope that we'd have an education expert in there, a university professor, someone who's dedicated their lives to this topic. Instead now, we have a Republican lawyer who is a partner in the law firm that helped the GOP gerrymander the state. They were the private counsel to the Wisconsin GOP as they were gerrymandering the state in 2011, and whose expertise appears to be union busting across the United States and also denying people paid sick leave. That's his expertise, and now he's on the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents. So there are going to be many little things like that in this legislation that we don't yet know about that we'll be uncovering as we go through it line by line.
So the Senate Majority Leader in the Wisconsin legislature, Scott Fitzgerald, said that that they have to pass these bills that they passed because they trusted, he said, quote, "We trusted Scott Walker and the administration to be able to manage the back and forth with the legislature. We don't trust Tony Evers right now in a lot of these areas." Mary, that just basically sounds as though they don't trust voters because it was voters who picked Tony Evers.
Yeah, they slipped up once or twice saying things like that, like, he's more liberal than you can imagine. They don't seem to get that he won the election. And it's no longer their job to decide what the policies are entirely in the state of Wisconsin. The hearing that went on late into the evening a few days ago was just astonishing. It was speaker after speaker making extremely concise, pointed comments about democracy, how it's supposed to work. There was a high school student who said, you know, how am I going to be able to explain this to my friends? This is not what the way democracy is supposed to work. And really just taking down these legislators and every argument that they could put forward. So those people who came to the Capitol, both who testified, the 1,400 who filled out slips or testified, the thousands that were outside the Capitol in the dark of night and the freezing cold, really did their job because some of the worst aspects of this bill improved a little bit. There was a proposal to move an election date, presidential primary election date in order to jigger the votes, to jigger the spring election cycle, to help one right-wing justice who's running for re-election, and that proposal was defeated. So the pushback from the citizenry really did make a difference in this case.
Wow. So it sounds as though, at least in Wisconsin, Republicans don't like democracy. They're very openly making it clear that they don't care for democracy. One of the things that they've also attacked is voting rights. They basically took action, I understand, to reduce the number of voters that can vote. There's also going to be an extra election in 2020, which would cost taxpayers more. Can you tell us about this aspect of their attack?
The extra election is this weird Supreme Court election thing that I was telling you about. Mm. It was going to move the date of the presidential primary off of the same date that we have a Supreme Court election in order to advantage a Republican, because they knew that the presidential primary would draw out too many Democrats and their candidate would be swept away in a blue wave. But there's a lot of other nefarious things in here. The early voting changes were softened and improved slightly, so we're going to have to just look at this the fine print as it comes out. The clerks across the state of Wisconsin, I think we only have 70 clerks, I think 65 of them had their voices heard. They said that moving around these presidential primaries, curtailing early voting, all this stuff doesn't make our jobs easier. And that was very significant testimony for the legislators in this instance.
Now, Mary, the Republicans have just in general for years made a lot of concerted efforts at the state level that I know you and your organization have been tracking for a long time. They've realized that over the past 10 years or so, it can be quite successful to make changes in their favor at the state level, and they've done many similar things in many different states all at the same time. I understand that in the states, there were about four states on November 6th where control of the legislature, control of the top positions such as governorship, attorney general, etc., flipped from Republican to Democratic, Wisconsin being one of them, Michigan being the other one. Being one of the other four. Are they doing similar things in some of those other states as these lame duck sessions wrap up, as they are doing in Wisconsin?
Yeah, when you look at it in the small picture, it seems like these are sort of Wisconsin-specific bills. So for instance, Evers campaigned on withdrawing the state from the attack on the Affordable Care Act. So that seems very Wisconsin-y. But when you look at it in the bigger picture, like between Michigan and the state of Wisconsin, we're seeing a lot of the same issues, like the expansion of Medicaid, like the Affordable Care Act, like voting, these kinds of things. And also the Economic Development Council, there were changes to our Economic Development Council. When you look at it in the big picture, this is a very Alec Koch-like agenda here. So the American Legislative Exchange Council really campaigned on trying to get governors to say no to Medicaid expansion and campaigned against the Affordable Care Act. It was notable to me that one of the few groups in the state that would have anything to say about this bill was the Koch's Americans for Prosperity group, thought the whole lame duck thing was a great idea. In the big picture, this is definitely a far right agenda that cuts down on voter rights and tries to get rid of these types of programs. Another bill that passed that hasn't even been mentioned here is a transportation bill. And it looks like the wording of the transportation bill is geared to getting out from under federal prevailing wage and environmental requirements. That's another classic Koch agenda item. I mean, who in the world is against raising wages, and who in the world is against prevailing wages for building trades and road workers, except the Kochs? So there's definitely a national agenda underway beneath the scene here.
Have we seen the Democrats engaging in this sort of chicanery that the Republicans are doing when you see a change in power from Democrat to Republican? I mean, are Republicans sort of creating this playbook?
So it's interesting. Here in Wisconsin, we had a lame duck session in 2000 and in 9, and the Republicans keep pointing back to that, like, you guys did it too, the Democrats did it too in 2009. But that issue was whether or not contracts that had already been negotiated by the state for mostly labor contracts, whether they'd already been negotiated, could they be signed? And it wasn't like the governor campaigned on not signing those contracts. He, in fact, didn't talk about labor much at all. And so those contracts were not eventually signed, and there was no real effort to undercut the powers of the governor, the standing powers of the governor. So it's a very different situation.
Tell us a little bit about the protests that have been taking place over the past several days. I mean, Wisconsin is sort of famous for its response to Scott Walker's attack on the labor movement several years ago, the Wisconsin uprising that took place around the same time as the Arab Spring, was this really interesting moment for Democratic uprisings. Scott Walker, who survived a recall effort after that, is now finally having to leave office. His loss in November surprised many of us outside the state. So did you see some echoes of the Wisconsin uprising from several years ago over these last few days?
Oh, certainly. More than echoes, there were Christmas carols throughout the building some of these days that from the Solidarity Singers, who have been singing protests every day at noon since the Wisconsin uprising. And maybe you'll have time to show your viewers some of those Christmas carols. But Walker's tenure here in Wisconsin has been bookended by explosive controversy. He came in that way to destroy and dismantle unions, and he's going out that way with further efforts to undermine a new Democratic governor. So it's in this week when so many people are looking at the life and career of George H.W. Bush, who's being buried this week, people are noting how gracious he was to President Bill Clinton when he came in, and this letter that he left Bill Clinton saying, you know, our country is in your hands now, or words to that effect, and your success is our success. How could you imagine a more different display than Scott Walker and his cronies trying to make it much more difficult for Tony Evers? The whole array of constitutional officers Wisconsin just elected, making it much more difficult for them to govern in their everyday work.
Now, what recourse is there? I mean, assuming Scott Walker signs these bills, why wouldn't he? Is this the end of the road? Or do Democrats have to wait to find a way to overcome the gerrymandered districts and win back the legislature in order, power over the legislature in order for them to undo what has been done? Or are there legal challenges that could possibly be launched?
Oh, believe me, the lawyers will be poring over every aspect of this bill. So it's given special attention to the early voting issues, which have already been litigated in the state. That will be a special focus of attention. Also, stripping the Attorney General of powers will be a very special focus of attention, although they softened some aspects of that. There's a lot of verbiage that hangs up the governor's ability to promulgate administrative rules. And that seems to me to be a separation of powers issue. I hope people will take a really close look at it. So I'm sure there are many things in here that are concerning and will have to be litigated in the future. But of course, the Republicans knew that. And so they gave themselves a big role in defending the state or intervening in the state if there are any constitutional challenges to laws passed in the state of Wisconsin. So how that all shakes out, you're just going to have to stay tuned.
Wow. Are the protesters continuing to stay outside the state capitol? As far as you know, I mean, Wisconsin winters are quite bitter. So I'm really in admiration of the people who've been there for the past several days. But is there a continued presence to, you know, urge Scott Walker against all odds to do the right thing?
Well, the protesters who came, certainly did their job and made their voices heard. Whether they'll continue doing that before the signing or after the signing, I'm not sure. But here's the good news for the state of Wisconsin. The good news is on January 7th, Governor Evers will take office and things are going to change. And he has one of the most powerful veto pens in the United States. So Republicans are going to have to negotiate with him if they want to get anything done, if they want to have a state budget passed, or if they want to have any kind of small business happen or rules happen, or, they're going to have to negotiate with him. And so there's going to be a lot of back and forth. So the citizens of the state who elect Evers will be standing by and ready to help if they're needed in the future, I'm sure.
So he might be able to use his negotiating power to say, well, if you roll back one of these pieces of legislation, you could get this concession, et cetera.
That's the way it's probably going to work here.
Any news finally on the gerrymander aspect, the redistricting aspect of Wisconsin? We've been following some of the legal challenges more broadly speaking, and I know there were several sort of Supreme Court cases around it, but where does Wisconsin's gerrymander district stand right now?
So the social scientists have clearly established that we're the most gerrymandered state in the nation by using all sorts of metrics. And this went up to the federal court. A three-person federal panel ruled in our favor, and they declared this hyper-partisan gerrymandering unconstitutional. They used all these high-tech maneuvers and computers and algorithms and all these methods to cram people into districts and dilute votes in other areas of the state. That was held to be unconstitutional. It went up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court remanded it for further work. That work was done. It's gone back up to the appellate court. So this is still a very live issue in the state. Hopefully it will get sorted out. And the 2021 redistricting process that will happen after the 2020 census will be a fair process. It will result in fairer maps for the state of Wisconsin, and we won't see these incredibly heavily skewed assembly districts that we see now. And this map of Wisconsin, this red map of Wisconsin, that's entirely impervious to a blue wave. We just had another blue wave again, and the map in the assembly still stayed very red.
It's incredible to see Republicans essentially basing their entire political power on being anti-democratic. The more anti-democratic they can be, the more power they're able to grab instead of doing the right thing and changing their policies so that they become more appealing to voters, which would be the democratic way of doing things.
The signs from the protesters were cheating. They are cheating. And I think that that's the right word for it.
Thank you so much, Mary, as always, for joining us. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mary Botari, director of the Center for Media and Democracy's Real Economy Project. We've been discussing the GOP's brazen power grab in Wisconsin. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.